It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, your host, and this week we're on an exciting study of the book of Galatians. Galatians is one of my favorite books in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote to this church to combat false doctrine that was creeping into the church, trying to drag them back into legalism and under the bondage of the law. And Paul shares with them how we are saved by grace and grace alone. He actually begins verse 1 by saying, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified." Now, Paul's writing here in this chapter with a real sense of urgency, a very important message addressing the Galatians, because they fell into this trap of legalism, believing that they could achieve righteousness by their works. And as we examine Galatians 3 today, there are three important themes that we're going to see. The insufficiency of the law, how the law was not enough to save us. The Bible tells us if righteousness could be obtained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And then it talks about the sufficiency of grace, how God's grace is all you need. And then it concludes today with the eternal promise of God. But looking again at verse 1, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Paul begins this third chapter by giving them a very strong rebuke. He's so shocked at the Galatians who began their Christian walk with faith in Jesus Christ. And now somehow they have turned back to the law. And he asked a very pointed question here as he goes on in verse 2. He says here, "I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?" Paul explains to them that the law was never intended to save. It only reveals our sinfulness and how we fall short of what God demands from us, which is holiness. Later, he's going to reveal in verse 10 that everyone who's observing the law and they're relying on the law, they're under a curse. In verse 3, he goes on and says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" Friend, it's so important for us to realize that it's only through grace that we receive anything from God. We don't deserve the wonderful salvation that he gives us. No, it's an act of God's grace and his mercy upon us. Paul said in verse 4, "Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" Paul explains to the Galatians that the law was never intended to save. It was intended to reveal our sinful condition and our need for a Savior. The law really exposes our inability to meet God's perfect standard. It's like a mirror that we look into and it shows the dirt in our life, but it can't cleanse us. The mirror can only show us our condition. It can't clean us up. So therefore, striving to earn righteousness through the law, it just leads to frustration and failure in our life. I see a lot of Christians who get so fascinated with Judaism and they want to wear a kippah, they want to wear the prayer shawl, they want to try to keep Shabbat. And they go through all this, and it really makes me wonder at times, are they missing something? The Jews who are what I call completed Jews or Messianic Jews that I know, they thank God that they're no longer under the weight of the law. And we as Christians, we can't go back and try to relate to God through that old covenant. What Jesus did on the cross was complete. It paid for all my sin, past, present, and future. Now in verse 6, Paul is going to give us an example. He says, "Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." I love that verse. Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. See, the Bible tells us, if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to the promise. You and I have been grafted into the family of God because of faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul began by letting us know that the law was insufficient. It wasn't enough. It couldn't save us. Not that the law was imperfect in itself. We just lacked the ability to keep it. And then he goes on now by giving us the example of Abraham, and he shows us the sufficiency of faith. The law was insufficient to bring us to righteousness, but faith, God honors faith, and he credits it as righteousness when we believe him by faith. See, friend, there's only two ways you're going to relate to God. You're either going to relate to God under the old covenant of works, 613 commandments. How perfect did you have to be? Absolutely perfect. Be you perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And if you're trying to relate to God under that, you're never going to be good enough. But the new covenant is a covenant of grace by faith. And that is this new covenant of faith in Jesus Christ. We believe what he did for us on the cross, and it brings us righteousness and puts us in a right standing with our Heavenly Father. Now, remember I told you that verse 10 tells us all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. What was the curse of the law? The curse of the law was that you had to be perfect. You had to keep it in its entirety. It was just like a lineup of dominoes, and when you drop one domino, all the others begin to fall consecutively, and you realize that it all came crashing down. Be ye perfect, therefore, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, friend, when we come under this new covenant of grace, that perfection is now a gift, and it's received by faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 11, he says, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. And then he tells us in verse 12, a very important fact, the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. And verse 13 is one of the great verses of the New Testament. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. My friend, Jesus became the curse so that you and I could become righteous. He endured our suffering on the cross so that we could enter into this new covenant of grace. Jesus bore the penalty of sin that we deserved, taking the curse of the law upon himself. And through his death and resurrection, he opened the way for us to receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. In verse 14, Paul continues, he says, he redeemed us. That means to buy something back that was lost. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So today we talked about the fact that the law was insufficient. It wasn't enough to bring us to God. It only pointed out our sin like a mirror shows the dirt on our face. Secondly, we talked about the sufficiency of grace, how Abraham believed God and God credited it to him as righteousness. And now we're going to come to the third part of this chapter 3, and we're going to talk about the promise. Look at verse 15 now. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Paul's telling us here that God's promise to Abraham and to his seed, his offspring, they're eternal promises and they're unchanging. And he's explaining that the law which came 430 years after God's promise to Abraham, does not annul the covenant. Salvation has always been based on God's grace and not human effort. He says in verse 16 here, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say, and to seeds, plural, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Paul goes on in verse 17, what I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. So Paul is emphasizing here that the promise God made to Abraham, it's eternal. And now he's going to go on in verse 18 here, and he says in verse 18, for if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Now we start with verse 19 here. Paul's going to clarify the purpose of the law. He says, what then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed, speaking of Jesus, to whom the promise referred, had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. So Paul then asks the question, is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised being given through faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Maybe you're thinking by now, so why did God give this law if the law couldn't save people? Because they needed to understand their need for a Savior. I've often said that the hardest part of getting someone saved is getting them lost. They have to first understand their need for a Savior before they can ever come to God and acknowledge their sinful condition. See, the law served as a tutor or a guardian, pointing the way to Christ. It prepared the way for the fulfillment of God's promise by revealing our need for a Savior. But now that Christ has come, we are no longer under the law's supervision. Now we're under this new covenant of grace. God writes his law upon our hearts, and as Christians now we live out of our hearts and not under the system of the law. Now Paul closes out chapter 3 by reminding us, he says in verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, Paul tells us we're all sons of God through faith. Through faith, we've been adopted into God's family, no longer defined by ethnic, social, or gender distinctions. No longer is it male or female, Jew or Greek, bond or free. Verse 28 tells us we are all one in Christ Jesus. Look at the unity that comes now in the faith. No matter if you're a Jew or you're a Gentile, no matter if you're a man or you're a woman, no matter if you're a free person or a slave, we have that unity in Christ that we're all one and we're all made righteous, not based on what we do, but based on what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Friend, resist the temptation today to rely on your works or dead religion to save you. It's in Christ alone that we are made righteous and we are brought in to the family of God. Thanks for joining me today on Fresh Oil.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he He makes His mercies new every morning.